to the Lord tonight. Amen. For all that he's done. Let's let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. Sister Hannah, I don't know, I forget what percentage you said. What did she say, 75? I don't know if we could have handled 100%. It sounded perfect to me. So, amen. You know, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm glad that the Lord said it that way, but, you know, we got a little bit more than noise. You know, we're really blessed with talents, and I just love to see the body of Christ work together and worship the Lord. You know, the best cause that there is in the world.
Amen.
To give honor to him.
Amen.
And so it's just good to be with you. Good to have Brother Daniel back.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Hannah back. It's good to go to those meetings. They get you fire lit. And you come back, just remember, you know, you're back at home. Amen. No, it's those camp meetings are so good. And so we just love the Lord tonight. Just want to go ahead and open our Bibles to Psalms chapter 100. Amen. Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, but not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Amen.
Amen. Then I want to read from St. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. We'll title this tonight, The Sheep of His Pasture. Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Amen. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
Amen.
Amen. Very powerful scriptures. This is our hearts to him. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be with your people, to be here just to sanctify this time and this place for your presence, Lord. You're the one that makes it all happen, Lord. We're here because of you. As our sister was given in her testimony, and just you bring us out of so many dark places into the marvelous light. And to that, we give thanks to you tonight, Lord. We ask, God, that you just break the bread of life to your people tonight, and that they are your sheep and your pasture. And so we ask, God, that you just feed them tonight. Go to those that are streaming, those that will be listening later on, perhaps. We ask, God, that you bless them also with your word, the bread of life tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We are, you know, we are the sheep of his pastures. God likens us to sheep in the scriptures, and so we're just going to talk about it. Not anything deep tonight, but through this series of things that I've been sharing with you about being led by the Spirit of God and by the depravity of the flesh and so forth, I just want us to just kind of talk about sheep nature tonight. And we need to remember that we are sheep. Amen?
Yeah.
And so in that, we need to remember our limits, that we are limited at because we are sheep. We have limitations. And also to remember his help that he provides for us as our great shepherd. You know, God represented himself as a dove. We talk about that in many times. When he represents himself in meekness as a dove, and also as in strength, he represents himself as an eagle, and his prophets as eagles. And so he also represented his son, Jesus Christ, on earth as a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Branham preached the sermons of Lamb and the Dove and how that the Lamb would lead the Dove. And so he explains a lot of these things that I'm going to be saying tonight. But so he represented Jesus Christ, his son, as a lamb and himself as a dove. And we know that now that there at the Jordan River, that the Holy Spirit came down in form of a dove and lit upon Jesus there. And the voice spake and said, "This is my beloved son." You know, that was a showing us that if he, the Son of God, the perfect one, the Word in flesh, if he needed to have the Holy Spirit come down on him, what about us?
Yeah.
Right? Even though we know through the message that we are Word too, right? But we must have that Holy Spirit dove come down upon us just like he did. He served us as an example there so that we could all follow that. And we understand that. And so Brother Branham is explaining that the lamb is the meekest and most gentle animal on the face of the earth.
That's right.
Amen? And he also tells us that the dove is the meekest and most gentle bird in heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I love to watch doves.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of times when I go to work in the right time of the year, and sometimes I'll get there quite a bit earlier, and there'll be 14 or 15 of those doves there in the parking lot, and I can just pull in there and I can sit and watch those little fellas. I love them. I hate, you know, when one will be in the road or something like that, I try to go past them without scaring them. When I come out in the yard, I try to do whatever I'm doing without, because I don't want to scare the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? And it's just a natural. That's just the way I am. And I look at those and I just love them. They're meek and they're gentle. And by the way, they mate for life. Right?
Right.
And so God represented himself and the Lord Jesus Christ as a dove and the lamb. They both have the same nature.
Right.
This is what the prophet is telling us. And he explains to us that the dove, when the dove would come down, he cannot come down on a nature that's not like him.
Right.
Now, I want you, as I said, remember, we are sheep. We have limitations. We have nature characteristics about us. There's limitations. There's things that we need that we can't provide for ourselves. And so when this dove would come down, it needed to come down and light upon on the Lord Jesus, and he had to have the same nature or the Holy Spirit would not have come.
Right.
And so we understand the story there, what God is telling us there, that we, as lambs of God, we have to be the lamb nature.
Right.
See, the Holy Spirit cannot come down on the wrong nature.
That's right.
Right? So we think, well, you know, we do need the Holy Spirit, but we need to look at ourselves, and we need to be able to recognize what we are and what portion of us is not lamb nature.
Right.
And discern the difference and understand about our daily walk and what we do, that there are things we can do that will guarantee that the Holy Spirit, when he wants to come and light upon you and fellowship with you, that he's not afraid.
Right.
Because you can do things that will prevent him. You can make him fly away.
Sure.
Right? And as Brother Graham said, you know, as we're predestinated believers, he'll go out not very far. He'll land on a limb because he still wants to come.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so doves use all through the scriptures. Brother Graham had different experiences in his own ministry. The Florence Nightingale, when she was dying, and he knelt to pray there, and a dove came and landed there on the window. And all the people said, "We've never seen that before in our life. We don't know where that thing come from, because Brother Graham thought it was a pet."
Right.
And so he preached about the wings of a snow white dove and so forth. And so we understand those things are there in the scriptures and in the message for us. And so they have to have the same nature, or the dove could not have come down upon the lamb.
Right.
Now Brother Graham tells us, and we want to remember this, because we, as sheep, have the same nature as a dove. And so a lot of these things about the dove applies to us too. Brother Graham said that the dove has no gall.
Right.
And here's the way he described it. He said the dove has no bitterness. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And he said, neither does God have any bitterness.
Right.
And he says, neither does anyone who's led by God have bitterness.
Right.
What he said. And so think about the dove coming down upon the lamb. So dove and lamb, there is no bitterness. But he tells us that the dove cannot eat the things that a crow and a vulture and all those things eat. They can't eat rotten meat. They can't, you know. And so the dove has a very, very strict diet and can't eat the things. And so, and the reason why he doesn't eat those things, he couldn't eat those things, he said it would kill him, make him sick and kill him, is because he doesn't have gall. He doesn't have the bitterness. He doesn't have that. And so his diet does not require that.
Right.
His clean diet, I'll call it that, his clean diet doesn't require being able to digest all that nonsense. And so he can't live off of, as in typing us, he can't live off of fussing and arguing and sin and things in the world and all those things. That nature cannot feed on those things.
Right.
So you know your flesh still didn't get saved, you know.
Right.
Well, we need to understand that God wants us to be, and his work in our lives is such that we don't chase after the things of the world. Those things make us sick. Right?
Right.
As believers. I mean, if you've come to know the Lord, I can tell you very clearly, if you've come to know him, try it one time and see what happens. It'll make you sick if you try to go out and do the things you used to do.
Right?
And so, Brother Bim said, you know, that backsliders are the most miserable people in the world.
Right?
They're miserable.
Right.
Because they've gotten away from God and they're trying to go back into the world and trying to do those things and they're absolutely miserable.
Right.
Right? And so, because they don't have the appetite for that. And yet, in their flesh, they're trying to go back to those things. And
yeah.
And so I remember the story Brother Ram was telling about the fellow named Brother Ramsey, who decided he didn't want to serve the Lord anymore. And Brother Ram talked to him, and I think Brother Neville talked to him, different ones talked to him, and he was starting drinking again, and they tried to warn him. And Brother Ram said that, you know, that he wouldn't listen, right? And so Brother Ram said God took his servant home. Now, you and I could never say that, right? If I seen somebody and they left and they went out in church and they started drinking, I couldn't say, and if they died, I couldn't say God took the servant home because I'm not a prophet. We wouldn't, but he said that.
Right.
And he said that for us to understand that when you're a child of God, you're still a child of God and you'll get whippings. And he might take you home,
right?
He might take you home if you just won't listen to his word. And I look, over the years, I've watched people, and I see the word coming, and they don't obey, and they don't listen, and you wonder, where's this going to end up at? Because if they're a child of God, we know that God has a rod of correction.
Yeah.
And so, the dove can't live off of those things, and so that's the kind of nature that we should have is the same way. Brother Graham said that the dove is the cleanest of all birds. In the heavens, because as we know, the dove doesn't have to go out and take a bath like or whatever they do. The dove has an oil that he produces that from within. That oil comes out, and it's just, you know, I was thinking about, you know, especially men or guys, you know, I think they have a lot of oily skin, and you know, and you can see if where they've been laying in the bed or whatever for a long time, it's there. The sisters know what I'm talking about, but you know, and I think about young people and they have oily skin and all that, and so it's not so bad to be anointed, right? Not so, oil serves a great purpose, and so this dove has this oil that he produces from within, and it just comes out, constantly coming out. Brother Bram said that dirt can't stick to it.
Right.
The world cannot stick to someone who's got an anointing within them. If the Holy Ghost dwells in them, that anointing comes out and keeps you clean. And though you might rub in the world, or the world might try to get on you, it can't stick to you. And I think Brother Man talked about even when he goes to flying, it just, that stuff just comes off, right? And so he's the cleanest of all the birds in the heaven. He tells us that whenever the dove was there in the ark, and Noah, you know, he let the dove go out, and the dove flew, and It had to come back.
Right.
You know, he could send out a crow or some other bird, you know, and could go out and not come back.
Right.
And the way Brother Man was describing it was this other bird, well, it went out there and it didn't have to come back because it found a place to rest the sole of its foot. And what it found was dead carcasses floating on the water. And so it was an appetite and they could eat it, so it didn't have to come back to the ark. But the dove had to come back.
Right.
Because the dove did not find a place out there to light, because he has no desire for rotten and carrion and rotting flesh and things of the world. You understand? Flesh, carnal, mm-hmm. right? He didn't, and that's what the type is. There's to show you there that I don't care what people say and how many people say they're Christians or whatever. If they've got an appetite for worldly things, there's something wrong.
Right?
They're either not a Christian or they're backslidden and they're miserable.
Yeah.
Right? And so he went out there. So this dove could not find rest for the sole of his foot. And that's the way a Christian is. You can't find rest for your soul on the things of the world.
Right?
And so we like those things. And Brother Bram said, as you said a while ago, the backsliders are most miserable. But he showed us also that the crow and the different ones, they can eat those things. And he showed that the crow could actually go out into the field and eat wheat, where the dove eats wheat. But the crow can also go and eat the rotten stuff and the dead stuff, but the dove can't. And so he said, hypocrites can come to church. And this is the way he said it. Hypocrites can speak in tongues and shout and all the things like that, and then leave there and go home and drink them a beer and live an immoral life and come back to church and do the same thing again.
Right.
But a dove can't do that. A dove can come to the house of God and rejoice in the things of God, but a dove will not go home and start partaking of filthy things.
Right?
And man, we need to remember that. And so what lays within the flesh has got to be put under and kept under. Right? As we know, the scripture said, mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. So that's just a little bit about the dove. And so now I want to talk about the sheep. Brother Bram said that a sheep cannot find their way home when they're lost.
Right.
At all. He said they'll stand there and bleed or whatever that cry is that they make. And he said he'll stand there and do that until he dies. Because he does. And here's the thing. We're sheep. And if we think we can lead ourselves, we are strongly mistaken.
Right.
Right? A sheep cannot find their way back home to safety. They don't have it. It's not in them. And it's not in us to lead ourselves.
Right.
Regardless of what people think. And so, Brother M said, they have to have a shepherd to lead them back.
Right.
He said, you won't. Science, you can't find your way back with science. You can't find your way back with education.
Right.
You can't find your way back with religion. Divine, you need to be led by the shepherd or by the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in your life. He said that a sheep cannot defend themselves. You know, a dog can bite, a horse can kick, other animals can run, birds can fly away, but a sheep can't. You know, he said a sheep can just run just a little short way and they're just give out. They're helpless. They can't defend themselves. And so, you know, God made this arrangement here where he could say that we are sheep, because he wants us to understand the nature of sheep and understand that's the way we are, so we can learn to trust him just like a sheep must trust the shepherd that leads and guides them. So a sheep must be led. Amen?
Amen?
Must be led and can't lead themselves. They must be, from time to time, they must be shorn. They grow that wool. As Brother Brown said, sheep don't have to manufacture wool. It's just there. They make it. You know, they don't have to, I gotta make wool. They just make it because that's what they are. But ever so often, it just keeps growing. Ever so often, that has to be taken off of them.
Right.
Right? Because if they don't, they get all weighted down. It gets all matted with sticks and all kinds of things like that, and it gets heavy. I heard a story here not too long ago about a sheep that got away from a shepherd and had several years. Several years had gotten and managed to avoid being sheared, or whatever they call it, shorn, sheared. And so finally, I guess at some point, the shepherd finally got a hold of this thing, and he had so much wool on him that when he sheared him off and weighed the wool, it weighed more than the sheep did by itself. Yeah. Could you imagine that? So if you're like someone like me, like 230 pounds or maybe a little more, could you imagine instead of being, let's say, I'm not 250, but let's say 250. Okay, could you imagine weighing 500 pounds when really you should weigh 250? And this is what, see that sheep? He just, and the thing of it was, the story that I heard was that, you know, I'm sure that being shorn is probably not a comfortable thing. It's probably fearful or whatever. And so the sheep, if you let him have his way, he's going to run, you know, he don't want to have nothing to do with that, right? This one did anyway. And to his own peril. I heard, I think, Brother Eugene Braun talking about, maybe, I forget who it was, it might have been him, years ago, talking about a sheep, and going out there, and they get it, I forget what they call it, but upside down, and they can't get up. Somebody's going to help them, right? There's got to be a shepherd come along. And of course, a shepherd, you know, in Christianity, could be a preacher, it could be an evangelist, could be a brother or sister, whatever, but the Holy Spirit coming and working to help someone. That's why you need to be part of a body.
Right.
You can't be a Christian by yourself. Right? Because you're hurting yourself, but you're also hurting others.
Right.
Right? And so you don't want to find yourself where you can't, you know, because you can't help yourself. And so, as I said a few weeks ago, we have a responsibility to each other. Amen?
Amen.
And so we know that. So they must be shorn. They must be watched over. And you know, I've kind of noticed this myself. I've not been around them a whole lot, but a sheep and a goat kind of sound pretty close to the same thing. And here's what Brother Graham said about it. He said, you have to be a very wise shepherd to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah. Right.
Now think about it. Yeah. Coming into the house of God, supposed to be sheep,
sure.
But sound like sheep, but maybe it's not. It might be a goat.
Right.
See, in our flesh, our goat nature, but in our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and so you know you can respond with flesh, or you can respond with the Spirit,
right?
And sometimes in church it sounds the same, or sometimes in life it sounds the same,
sure.
And we have to understand what part of us is goat nature or wolf nature or a beast nature. And how to hone in on what's Holy Spirit nature and let that be the thing that we live by.
Right.
Right? It's our responsibility as a Christian to hash these things out with God.
Amen.
Until we become very effective at putting the flesh under and living by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Living in such a way that the Holy Spirit would just love to come down and anoint you each day.
Yeah.
And so they sound so much like the same. That it takes somebody, and we know that the Lord knows. He's the great shepherd. He definitely knows.
Right.
Amen. And so, you know, as I said, they sound the same, and goats are totally different. Goats will eat anything.
Right.
Sheep can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Goats will eat anything. Goats are constantly butting heads with another. You hear the phrase, you know, oh yeah, they butted heads with each other. A couple of guys got in an argument, right? They say butted heads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they're talking about. Because the goat nature likes to butt heads, likes to argue, likes to fight, likes all those things. That's a goat nature.
Right.
God's people don't argue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it lays in our flesh to do that.
Yeah.
And when somebody rubs you the wrong way, that's what, you know, but that's a perfect time. I had a situation last a week or so back, maybe 2 weeks ago, a fellow that works with me. He got all bent out of shape about something or other, and I guess he expected me to raise my voice, and I didn't. I just stayed calm. Thanked the Lord, tried. And he's treated me so just wonderful since then. After he, and I told him, he said, well, I'm going to go, he's going to go talk to my boss, you know, okay. But I said, you need to cool down before you do. You know? And so, that's laying there. That she, the goats like to butt heads, and they can just eat any old thing, just be partakers of whatever. And they destroy everything. That's my opinion. If they can eat it, they will. They love to exalt themselves. And what I mean by that is they climb on anything and everything. They love to climb on top of stuff. And so it's exalting. Remember, you know, when prophecy of John the Baptist coming, you know, and make the high places low.
Yeah.
He come there and he preached, and he didn't recognize the high priest and all those. He made them all the same. Repent. Right? Brought the high places low. So goats like to climb up on all kinds of stuff. I come home yesterday, my wife come in and she said, you need to go over and look at the neighbor's goats. And I went out there and looked, and one of those goats is on top of the cab of a pickup truck eating limbs out of the tree. That's a goat. Right? You know, we can't be that way. We can't just be partakers of anything and everything. That's not the nature of a sheep, and that's not the nature of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen. So, something about sheep that you probably know, don't hear it mentioned very often, but sheep will not drink from water that's all ripply, and they need still waters.
Right?
They're nervous. And they need still waters. And a good shepherd knows, hey, you've got to have an environment, not a bunch of contention, not a bunch of, but just an environment where they're at ease and they can come and they can drink.
Right.
Right? And so it goes right along with the nature of those things. And so you understand that sheep needs shepherds. And the scripture tells us the sheep, we know what he said, that they know his voice. But the sheep must have a shepherd, and they must know that shepherd's voice.
Right.
Right? We know the shepherd knows the sheep, but the sheep needs to know. And I've mentioned it before. I saw that demonstrated. A guy that was the shepherd and a bunch of people standing on the side of the road there, and they were all hollering and hollering. Each one took their turn. And the sheep never even so hardly lift their head up. But as soon as their shepherd called, man, here they come. Because
right.
They understood. They know his voice. And so as we just said there, that they know his voice, and they will not follow strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to begin to, I mean, there's a deep settle, as I spoke of the other day, a deep settleness that comes into a believer to understand, I'm a sheep of his pasture.
Right.
He's watching over me.
Amen.
He said in his word that I know his voice.
Yeah.
Right? He said, I'm not going to follow something else. Mm-hmm. Right? And we just have, in all the battles of life that we run through every day and all the things that frustrate us, we just have to appeal to him.
Mm-hmm.
That he's the one I'm going to listen to.
Amen.
He's the one I'm going to follow. I'm not going to listen to all these other things and run in the excesses of the world. I'm just going to have my humble little relationship between me and the Lord, and what my shepherd says and does, where he goes, I'll follow. You see, the scripture said he goes before them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
He don't send you somewhere by yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Brother Bram said, you know, that he wants the Lord to tell him when to go somewhere. And so that anytime he goes and the Lord has told him, then no matter what happens, when Satan raises up, he can just lay him low because he knows where the Lord has sent him.
Right.
So the Lord goes before you to lead you.
Yeah.
Right? He's not telling you go somewhere he's not been or where he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's asking you to come to where he is. He follow him and he'll lead you. As the 23rd Psalms, we talk about it. He leadeth me beside still waters. He's the one that does that.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that restores your soul.
Yeah.
And he's the one that anoints you, right?
Yeah.
And so that scripture we read there said, hey, he's the one that brought us here.
Right.
No, we didn't do this. He did it. So we are the sheep of his pasture. And when all the world's falling apart and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen in this next election, and I don't know if the nukes are going to come, and I don't know, it doesn't matter. We're trusting him.
Amen.
We're trusting him. No matter what happens, I'm with him. I'm staying with him. Regardless of what they say, what they do, I'm staying with him. And I hope and pray and trust that that's your resolve. You'll stay with him no matter what comes, what how hard it gets, whatever happens. All these people freaking out over next Monday's eclipse, like the world's going to come to an end.
Right.
You know, men's hearts failing for fear of looking at the things that are coming. And a lot of the things they're fearful of is just a bunch of man-made nonsense. Right? I told someone today, I said, they'll listen to all that nonsense, all worried about what's going to happen next Monday. I said, God has given us what to live by and what to look at.
Right.
And they'll reject that and listen to something else.
Right.
Right? Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name and you receive me not, but another will come and him you will receive. Right?
Yeah.
And that's it. God has given us his word. Right. Like these scientists are saying, some of them are all worried about that CERN's Hadron Collider over there and wherever it is. They're smashing those particles together, and theoretically they say that they can create what they call black holes, okay? You know what a black hole is? It was a star that got so much gravity that even light can't escape it, and they actually exist. Anytime you have a spiral galaxy at the center of it, there's a black hole there. We have one at the center of ours. And at one time, it was a great, one of the biggest stars, and it got so much gravity that it implodes on itself, and ain't even light can escape.
Right.
Sounds like Satan.
Yeah.
He used to be a bright angel, star,
mm-hmm.
and look what he did.
Yeah.
But these scientists are saying that they can create, with this, there's a potential of them creating a black hole, and most of the time they'll shoot off out into space, but there's a chance that they would... That it would, if it didn't, it would stay here on Earth, and what it is it's a particle that's got so much mass to it that it pulls in,
mm-hmm.
and as everything gets pulled in, it gets more mass because it's gobbling in everything, and so they're saying that this thing could be growing and growing and growing, and at some point when we finally realize that they've created one of these things and it's here on Earth, we'd have about 5 minutes before the Earth would disappear. And I was telling somebody, it don't end that way.
Yeah.
See, fearful, great discussions and arguments about something like that because they don't know. Because
mm-hmm.
they're not listening to their shepherd.
Right?
This doesn't tell us it's going to end that way. I was telling somebody at work the other day, you know, we know it don't come out like that. It's this right here. And so, because they don't have shepherds, men's hearts failing for fear looking at those things that are coming upon the earth. Amen. So, we must have a shepherd, we must know his voice, and not follow somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, we're two people. We're a spiritual being, should have the Holy Ghost, right? Should be, but we're also in flesh. And your mind can fall after things that's different. Right?
Right.
And so, don't follow another voice.
Amen.
Follow your shepherd.
Amen.
Meekness, gentleness, mm-hmm. the word, promises, making them come to pass, being there with you, leading you and guiding you into a life of peace and joy in the midst of chaos.
Amen.
Right? Because if you go the other way, it's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
When you start letting your mind drift and all, it's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when we come back to the Holy Spirit, this word, that we can walk in peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so, with the arrangement of a shepherd, you know, the sheep's got all these limitations, but God's got it all fixed. He's got, his answer is the shepherd. And as long as you've got a shepherd and you're listening, he'll take care of you.
Amen.
He'll watch over you, but you got to let him.
Amen.
Right? You got to let him.
Amen.
So, when you feel nervous, when you feel helpless, and you feel vulnerable, and you feel like you don't know which way to go, that's because you're a sheep. And all that means is that when you feel that way, and you feel like I don't know where to turn, all that means is you're a sheep, and just listen to your shepherd. Just turn to him. And listen to him, because he's got it all under control. And you know that and believe that. In our flesh, we have a wolf nature or a goat nature. We understand that. We need to know that. We need to remember that. We need to be able to discern in our life from day to day what part is not God. Mm-hmm. What part is contrary to the shepherd and to the dove and the Holy Spirit. And identify those things. And as Paul said, die daily. Mm-hmm. Crucify those things daily. To understand. And there are things about us that we can do that will not attract the Holy Spirit. Right. Amen.
Amen.
And learn how to be led by the dove. Amen.
Amen.
Let's let our musicians come if you want, as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service tonight, we want to thank you for this opportunity to be here with your people and to share these words, these truths, Lord, from your scriptures. Pray, God, that you just allow each one of us and help each one of us, Lord, to identify with these things in our lives, become greater examples of overcoming Christians in this world. There's plenty out here, Lord, to overcome. And I just pray, God, that you just continue to feed us sheep food. May we continue to follow you. May you continue to lead us by still waters that we can drink. And Lord, when it comes time that you need to shave off some of the wool that we have, we pray, God, just you take care of those things. We trust you. We just commit ourselves into your hands and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody got a song they want us to sing? Your shepherd, all is well.
Yeah.
that I look in this message and the more that I look at the things that God has done, that I hope I can say this in a way, we're already in a place we don't even realize where we're at yet. God has already called and done something with this people. And just listening today, some of the things Brother Branham said, that while there's a famine going on in the land, we've got spiritual food in due season.
Amen.
And while all the rest of them are perishing, he's already called us, already pulled us over into this special place and taken care of us. And we all the time, we talk about it. You know, that we're able to look into things in the scriptures that the rest of the world don't even talk about, don't even know about. Mm-hmm. Because right. God has given us spiritual food in due season.
Amen.
Amen. And so there is a place of perfect rest, and it's in the presence of God's word.
Amen.
And his presence. So we'll sing this again. You can be dismissed.